This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Good give and go is hot.
Why did White Brian post a picture of a dog?
I think he's trying to prove he has a dog, even though it's not his dog, it's his parents' dog. I don't know. Good looking dog, though. I didn't have White Brian for a pit owner, but here we are. time to go to Atlanta and talk to somebody that knows about the basketball. Miles, our friend Chris Miles, NBA TV. You can give him a follow at Chris Miles TV. Miles joins us via the Rude guest hotline. Rude is the most reliable HVAC products in the DMV. All right, Chris.
I got a question for
the
Chris.
The floor is yours.
I got a question for
Chris. All right, you fire away because I just want to take a victory.
What did you know to make you think that the New York had a chance? Because many people didn't think, I didn't think it, and now they're up 2-0.
So what's crazy is, and I don't know if you're basing this off of my Instagram story that I posted.
Nah, you were on the radio with us last week, fool. What you forgot?
Oh, okay. No, so people. Now, I went in with you guys and said that, right?
Yes.
But when we were, and I say we, you know, because I'm a Knicks fan, I have to admit. When we were down 20, I was like, you know what? I'm going to post this. I'm like, the Knicks in six, and we're going to win this game. And Shaq was looking at me like, you fool. And Chuck was like, you're an idiot. How much you want to bet? And I was like, I don't have the money to bet with you, my friend. Like,
you
what are you talking about here, right? I know, but then again, I wouldn't have been able to pay him. Like, what are we doing here? So what I'm saying is this, right? The benefit we have of listening to the post-game press conferences every single day as part of our job and the shows that we have, I'm like, the Knicks are serious and about business, and the Celtics kind of feel right now like, oh, yeah, we got them. We swept them in a regular season. Like, this is just another game that we have to go through. And the Knicks have this sense of desperation. So what I was saying to people is, like, I think the Knicks have a legit shot. Now, both games played out a little differently in the sense of who stepped up. And, like, Karl Anthony Towns was due to have a good game after being trash against the Pistons in the last game and pretty bad in game one. And sure enough, he was huge in game two. Mikal Bridges couldn't hit a shot for like four games. And then in the fourth quarter, he scored 14 points. It's like the regression to the mean. And it's really exciting because we have all these comebacks, right? Like, I think we've had four of them in the first round. Road teams keep winning. Just crazy.
Towns was really good. It's funny. I actually said to B-Mitch earlier, I've been fairly critical of him kind of throughout his career. I just think he's kind of soft for the big body he has. Not last night, though, man. 21 and 17. I was very impressed. I think, do you think they get this done, Miles?
Yes. And after game one, I was like, okay, maybe there's a chance. So if you look at the percentages, right, like teams that win, you know, the first two games on the road, they win 86% of series. So like the Knicks are in that space. Also the health of Kristaps Porzingis. He just isn't right. And so the Knicks are starting to figure out, like, okay, they have Al Horford and Luke Kornet. Al Horford is, what, 38 years old? And Luke Kornet is a backup to a backup. Like, that's who the Celtics have on the front line. So the Knicks are kind of like, okay, like, we just can go inside and we can score and we can get our points that way. But I think for the Celtics, like, they're not going to shoot 25% from three-point range for the series. Mm-hmm. So I don't think it's like the Knicks in a sweep or the Knicks in, you know, five games. I do think this is still going to go six or seven because, obviously, the Celtics are going to get hot, and they're going to be hot for, like, two or three games. It's whether or not the Knicks can withstand that.
If the Knicks get one in New York, they'll be up 3-1 if they, let's say, 3-1. You believe that the Wichita will go straight three games on them, the way they played thus far?
Well, yeah, because here's the thing, and this is a key point. When you look at the Celtics' history, like the 2023 Eastern Conference Finals, remember, they were down 3-0 to the Miami Heat, and they won three straight, and that Game 7 came down to the wire. Like, this is that same group. And Jason Tatum, man, the last two fourth quarters, he's 1-for-12. His only point came on a dunk. Like, he hasn't gotten right. That team has not had a good game in these first two games. Like, they've been awful. And the games have been tight, right? They're one-possession games. So I do think that at some point the Celtics are going to remind us, like, yes, we're the champs. And they have in the first half of these games. You know, I think for Boston, it's fallen in love with that three-point shot.
Yeah.
And as a basketball fan, I'm so glad that's backfiring. Right? Like, I do not want to see, because, you know, they set the record for most three-pointers attempted in a game and lost, right? But they also set the record for most three-pointers attempted in a season. I think if there's, like, a price to pay for that, we're kind of seeing it now with the Celtics, and I hope we get some more balance into the NBA, because this has been the most incredible playoffs in a long time, and I was telling people the most incredible regular season that we've had in a long time.
Well, I don't believe you on the regular season part, but the playoffs have been awesome. I think... We are talking with our friend Chris Miles, NBA TV. Give him a follow on Twitter and Instagram, at Chris Miles TV. You know what's interesting to me? Dude, what do you make of the way Jason Tatum has finished these games? Because it's been bad.
Well, part of it is, right, physical series, right? Like, you play against – remember, Jason Tatum missed his first playoff game in game two against the Orlando Magic with a wrist injury. He's got it taped up, and I know he's not going to use that excuse because he came back and had 35 and 37 in the games after he missed, right? But whenever you have some sort of injury like that and teams are bumping you and playing you physical, like that affects you. And I also look at it, especially when you get to fourth quarter games, right? Like your legs are tired, like it just wears on you. But I also look, and Jalen Brunson only had 17 points, right? Like, he was struggling in a similar way throughout the course of game two. But for Tatum, now he's facing OG Anunoby, who I believe, when healthy, is an all-defensive team caliber player,
yeah.
And Mikal Bridges. Mikal Bridges got the steal in both games in the last possession. Like, these are the guys that he's facing. The Knicks went and traded for these guys and paid these guys so they could come in and do it. I mean, JP, it's like going to get two top-tier cornerbacks and be like, hey, why is this wide receiver having some struggles against them? Like,
right.
this is what the Knicks planned for.
I was
trying to switch to the other series, but in Cleveland, too many injuries, they're done?
You know, what's incredible is this. We've had George Niang in studio. He was the guy that got traded at the trade deadline from the Cavs to the Hawks. And, you know, he's absolutely just devastated by that, right? But he has all the nuance to the Cavs and, like, why they were so good this year. And so one of the things that he's saying is, like, you know, when you watch it, like, the Cavs are getting ahead early, and it's like the win is in the bag. But then the depth, which has been their, like, their calling card all year, when Donovan Mitchell's like, all right, I got to give it up to someone else. Those other guys, like you said, Darius Garland, all-star guard, not there. Evan Mobley, all-star forward, not there. Right, DeAndre Hunter, the guy that they traded for from Atlanta. Those are like three starters off the floor and two all-stars. So it is like when you're facing a team like the Pacers won 50 games, and Tyrese Halliburton, you know, I voted for him third team All-NBA, right? Like, people are voted for him as the most overrated player in the NBA, and I guess he's proven those doubters wrong. So I think you got to give some credit to the Pacers and the heart and the determination. Mm-hmm. But remember, the Cavs got out of here by the Knicks 2 years ago. Like, they were just soft inside. So you take Evan Mobley off the floor, and they really once again look soft inside.
It's crazy that in the East, the road teams are 4-0 in the second round of the playoffs. And obviously the Cleveland situation's a little bit more unique. But the Knicks have just played hella defense, and Boston can't close anything out. Switch it to the West. I think the performance from the Thunder last night, I mean, they dropped 80 in the first half. The performance from the Thunder last night is what I expected Boston to do.
Well, they were up by 20.
Yeah, it's true. The Thunder Nuggets series feels like it's going to be at least a 6-game series. OKC had to learn a lot from last year. Do you think they've learned enough? I feel like in the NBA playoffs, we see year after year after year, young teams kind of need some time to learn how to close out and win series. Do you think that young Thunder crew is ready to do it against a team that has a title? Like, they know what it is required.
What's hilarious about that, like what you just said, is after game one, that was the question, right? Because they, again, one of like four teams that allowed, an 8-point comeback in the last 4 minutes here in second round, right? Like, it's just crazy, these comebacks. But here's the deal. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander was there last year. He's there this year, as far as like what you're saying. But I think bringing in a defensive veteran like Alex Caruso and then Isaiah Hartenstein to be able to crowd Joker the way that they did in the second game. I mean, here's a guy who had 40, 20, and 6 assists in game one. Mm. They held him to 16 points and 6 for 16 from the field. And the Nuggets were trying so hard. So I think for the Thunder, these first two games, it's like exactly your question. Like the first game, I'm like, I don't know about them. And the second game, you have to realize the 87 points in the first half is the most points in the first half of any NBA playoff game. You know how they have the stat and there's qualifiers? No qualifiers.
Right.
We've never seen that before of any team in a playoff. So, like, they made history after losing like that. And that was a statement. That was a response. But I do wonder, like, Game 3 is going to be colossal in trying to figure out, like, where this series is going to go, because obviously the first two games were just two different games and almost like two different Thunder teams.
The Thunder, they have the talent. Do they have enough to get this done, though?
Yeah, well, what they have is defense, right? And this is, I mean, B-Mitch, to try to describe it to you, it's like, you know, when we talk about, like, the 86 Bears, right? Like, this is what they are. I mean, they have, like, the greatest defensive rating, the greatest net rating. They average 20 steals and blocks a game.
Damn.
Right? Like, I don't recall seeing a team be number one and number two in steals and blocks and not have, like, a Hakeem Olajuwon or a Victor Wembanyama out there. Right? They do it. Everyone does it. Everyone is in on it. So, to me, that's the thing that stands out most about them, is that they take those steals, they turn them into points, they take the block, they turn them into points. But if you can slow the game down and not turn the ball over, like, I kind of look at it as, no, SGA is the only guy they have, and that's what we saw in game one that we know we can trust in the clutch. I mean, they only scored 6 points in the last 5 minutes of that game one, and, you know, four of those came on free throws.
Let's talk Steph. Let's talk about this Warriors Minnesota series. I was really excited for this one just because watching Steph is a treat, right? Like, I feel like that's something everyone just enjoys, to watch him play basketball. You don't get people talk about what's the term that's so popular now? Foul baiting. Like, Steph isn't that dude. It's a joy to watch him play basketball. Now he's out for a week. Golden State has the lead. I mean, maybe Buddy Hield keeps making everything in sight. I don't know. What do you think of that? We get that game tonight at 8:30.
Well, here's the crazy part, right? When I saw that Steph had the hamstring strain, I was like, oh, he's out. Okay, the Wolves, who only had 31 first half points in that game one. By the way, it's like crazy how well Golden State defended them. But you say Steph, and I say Ant-Man. Like, Steph is the second most popular player, I feel like, in NBA history. It's Michael Jordan and Steph Curry. Like, he's so beloved and so popular, and the ratings go through the roof. But I was talking to some of the guys about, like, this hamstring injury. I'm like, okay, can he come back to play game five? And they were like, no. And I'm like, why not? They're like, he could probably get out there and play basketball. But for the way that he plays, he's a sprinter.
He runs
all
day.
He's running around the court. Yeah. Like, he's going to go back and get – he's going to go out there and get hurt. So you got to watch that and kind of, like, give him the extra time. Now, the other thing is, after winning game one, you know, you buy a little bit more time, right? Because now you're not facing elimination until at least two or three games later. So I think winning game one was colossal, and I think it would be a surge for the league as far as ratings and people being, you know, all in on it. If it's Ant-Man and the return of Steph in, like, game five and game six, I think that's great theater and great basketball.
Absolutely, man. What are your – give me your conference final predictions then at this stage.
Yeah. Shoot. The New York Knicks.
Dude.
Versus the
Cleveland
Cavaliers.
Is that what your heart or your head?
Oh, you got Cleveland coming back.
I do. Here's the thing. I know that they tried everything to get Garland, Mobley, and Hunter on the court. Kind of feel like the Pacers are good, but they're not. Like, there was a reason they were down, and Donovan Mitchell is so good, man. Like, he's been trying to get there for so long. But I feel like, all right, Cleveland's the comeback team here. They feel like they should have won game two. And so I got Cleveland, New York, and I got the Knicks winning that series and going to the finals, only because of the Knicks starting off 2-0 against the Celtics. Like, that's the way I see it. Mm. And then I'm not very confident about this, but as the Nuggets and the Wolves, and the Nuggets beating the Wolves.
The Nuggets? So you got the Nuggets beating the Thunder.
Hey, man, like, Nikola Jokic is – you know what this is like, B. Mitch? It's like betting against or saying, oh, you got Tom Brady's team against whatever. Like, Nikola Jokic is the guy. He's the guy. Like, he's the best player in the NBA, right? Like, so, and when you, so B. Mitch, you know this about winning. The Nuggets talk and move like winners, man. They're like, we're trying to do this for Russ. We're here as a team. And they're grown-ups about it. I think there's so much to that that I cannot ignore. And I know they got blown out in game two. And when I listen to their coach, their interim head coach, David Adelman, who has more playoff wins than regular season wins, like, we've never seen this before. He's in there like, hey, they came out with physicality and the refs were on their side because they came out physical. We need to come out physical when we get home. And I'm like, that's how a coach is supposed to talk. You know, he's not like complaining about the refs or throwing guys under the bus. He's telling his team, like, you allowed yourself to get punched in the mouth in the first quarter. So we can't go to the refs about that. We got to do the punching, and then they go to the refs. And right. I thought that – I was like, okay, this is a series. Like, here we go.
Chris, I want to give you a chance just to, like, enjoy yourself for a moment. Saturday afternoon, the Knicks will be hosting the Celtics up 2-0 in the second round. What do you think that environment is going to be like in the Garden?
First of all, I don't know which videos or which memes you have seen, my friend, but it's going to be not just nuts inside the Garden, but outside the Garden, around the city, around the world, JP. People are going to be singing, go New York, go New York, go, go New York, go New York, go. Yeah. Okay, that's what's going to happen. So just be ready for it, JP. Yeah, just be ready.
Dude, so I was up there last year when the Caps got swept by the Rangers. I was up there for work, and it was when the Knicks were playing the Sixers. And just being there for that, because those games were nuts, was really remarkable. And maybe this will change with sustained success, but I don't hate the Knicks like I do a lot of these other New York teams. And this Celtics team... I don't know. I allow myself wiggle room to change my opinion. I think I'm rooting for the Knicks against the Celtics. Are you, B?
I don't like Boston at all. I don't like nothing in Boston.
Okay.
So, I don't like green. Look, you shouldn't like green. You shouldn't like leprechauns. You shouldn't like St. Paddy's Day.
Take it easy on some of that. That's my people.
The Plaquemine High School Green Devils were green, man. Come on now.
Like tea parties, anything to do with the Celtics.
Are you going to try to get up there?
First of all, sir, you don't realize what just happened in the show.
Okay, my me saying the Knicks are going to the finals, you do know what that means. As someone that covers the finals every year, I get to go to the finals with my Knicks in it. Do you understand? All right, and do the pre and post, and here's the other part.
That would be nuts for you.
We get to interview the players on the call. Oh, my. This is what I'm saying. Like, we were in Dallas last year. I'm like, this is a good time. Dallas is a good time, okay? I was in Miami the previous year. That was wonderful. So I'm always rooting for the Miami Heat to get to the finals, okay? what I'm saying is that would pale in comparison to being in Madison Square Garden
going
for the
home.
NBA Finals. What are we saying here, JP? Of course it's Knicks in six. Knicks in six.
Hey, man, they say when you're in the media, you're supposed to be non-biased. What the hell happened to that?
No cheering in the press box, Miles.
First of all, I'm no longer in the media. I work for the NBA, okay?
All right, that's still media. That's still media.
That's league-owned, baby.
I could be a cheerleader all I want. I cheer for every team, B. Mitch, okay? Now, what I'm saying is I had to endure Michael Jordan dunking all over my center and my team for years. I'm allowed to be happy, B. Mitch. What you got against happiness?
We support your happiness,
Miles.
I'm
just messing with you, dog. Just messing with you.
I can't wait to watch that game Saturday afternoon. Thank you for your time.
Appreciate you, brother, man.
And good luck to your Knicks, dude.
All right, guys. Take care.
All right, bro.
That's our guy, Chris Miles.
Chris happy, boy.
Not hiding, not holding back. Bing bong. Nobody go anywhere. Got to talk about a Washington Post poll of D.C. residents about RFK Stadium.
Hey, it's Brian Mitchell here. FanDuel is the best place to find all your favorite player props. And now you can make the smarter play with new performance trends. Want to see if a guy's hitting that over consistently? Or maybe they've been flirting with a potential triple-double. Get the latest stats right inside the app and see who's heating up. And once the game starts, that's when things get interesting. You can combine live prop bets into a same-game parlay for a chance to win big. If you don't already have FanDuel, it's not too late to get in on the action. You'll get started with $200 in bonus bets if your first $5 bet wins. So just visit FanDuel.com/Brian to join today. Make every moment more with FanDuel, official sports betting partner of the NBA. FanDuel Sportsbook is the official partner of 106.7 The Fan. You have to be 21 years or older and present in Virginia. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as a non-withdrawable bonus bet, which expires 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLE.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Optimize your nutrition this year with Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal service. Factor's fresh, never-frozen meals are dietitian-approved, ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from 40 weekly options across 8 dietary preferences like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Eat smarter at factormeals.com/listen50 and use code LISTEN50 for 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. Factormeals.com/listen50, code LISTEN50.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
Hey, everyone. Summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
I know why. Why, man? Sing it, Jeff. Long but quick, the Jeff Walker story.
Scotty saying that.
Scotty's just butt crazy.
Scotty thinks Jeff have a chance in hell of being within 48 strokes of you and I. They're crazy.
They're crazy. This morning, let's back up a little. Much has been said and discussed about the proposal to rebuild RFK Stadium and to get a NFL stadium there. The Commanders moving in.
Mm-hmm.
I think a number of things make this version of this discussion much different than previous times. The absolute top of the list, ownership change.
Why?
The new owners are, by all accounts, stand-up people, right? Like, and they do things the right way. And they have deep pockets and a lot of connections. This is a different world. Two, the team's good all of a sudden. I think Jaden Daniels is a factor in this.
It makes a world of difference.
But beyond that, a huge part of this is that the owners are putting up a boatload of cash. Yeah. They're putting up somewhere between $2.5 and $3 billion, okay? That, to me, changes things. It is not, like, the phrase, put your money where your mouth is, they're doing it. And so there was a lot of excitement the first day, the announcement at the press club with Mayor Bowser and Josh Harris and Roger Goodell. And then inevitably there are questions, opposition, pushback. What I find fascinating is there has been discussion that folks that don't live in the city shouldn't weigh in on this, which I think is kind of silly. But what the Post did, and I applaud them for doing this, is they did a survey of D.C. residents,
mm-hmm.
how they feel about using city money to pay for a new Commander Stadium. And the results, to me, are pretty darn significant. 55% of D.C. residents favor it. 55% of D.C. residents favor it.
This is one thing that I have a problem with, the way that question was stated anyway. 55%, you got the majority, yes. But they're not building the stadium. See, that's the difference. That money is being used for infrastructure, which is going to have to be built whether the stadium is there or not. Am I right?
Yeah. Not to that level,
the
but
team
yes.
comes in with $2.7 billion. You know, and that, if that's all theirs or the league put in some, whatever. But you're going to have to spend $500 to $750 million anyway, whether the stadium is there or not. But I think that a lot of people who like to sit up here and tell us stuff, politicians, they may not even much talk to their constituents.
I find that very interesting you say that, B. Just so we're clear, this is a Washington Post Char poll. This is a legitimately well-run, well-done poll. It's a random sampling of 651 adult residents of D.C., and the poll was conducted from April 22nd to May 4th. So last time I put out poll data, I had critics say, oh, well, you know, where'd that poll come from, right? Like, this one is from the Post. This is not from the mayor's office or an opposition office. This is what should be an unbiased poll. What I find far more interesting, and honestly, this conversation has gone on my entire life. As someone who has lived here and lived in Northeast for a decade, like, it's not that hard to see where portions of the city are really developed and where they aren't.
Uh-huh.
And development over the course of my life has certainly spread eastward in the city. Cap One Arena started it, Nats Park, Audi Field, yeah, yeah. The Wharf. Residents of Ward 7 and 8, so the stadium will be built in Ward 7, 8's just across the river, where there is a true lack of development, stunted development.
Yeah.
Residents of Ward 7 and 8 support public money for the infrastructure to build a new stadium 63%.
Mm.
Those east of the Anacostia River polled 74% support. It's almost like the people that live in the areas that haven't gotten development are like, hell yeah, we want this development, this gigantic project.
Then we wouldn't have to drive so far to get to stuff.
I also find this pretty interesting. Of black residents polled, 62% support. White, it's 53%, so it's still a majority. The only wards where you don't have a majority supporting are 3 and 4. This to me, and what is really imperative to consider, and this is from the Post. This is, like, I know this, and I've said this, but people question it because I'm getting my data from the presentation, which the mayor and the NFL and the Commanders were a part of. So if you want to be skeptical of that, you can be. I understand. This is from the Washington Post. They are reporting this. I'm sure they have checked this out to be true. Otherwise, it wouldn't be here, right? Democracy dies in darkness. This is what the mayor said, and this is what the Post is writing today. Under the terms unveiled last week, the district would help fund stadium infrastructure, parking facilities, and recreation improvements. The largest chunk of its contribution, $500 million, would come from the sports facilities fee, formerly the ballpark fee, a tax on businesses earning $5 million or more. Let's be clear. That money is only paid by a handful of businesses in this town.
Mm-hmm.
Further, that money already was earmarked to build Nats Park, which has more than exponentially repaid the public investment.
Totally.
And they're not taking this money. It's not like, yo, we're taking the money from the schools and we're building roads for the stadium. This is going from Nats Park to RFK Stadium. $500 million. D.C. would also invest $200 million for utilities infrastructure, roadways, and a metro transit study. Well, guess what, folks? That $200 mil, you'd have to spend it anyway. Whatever you're putting in there, you tell me what you don't have to spend, B. If you're going to develop a 180-acre site,
you're going to have to spend.
Utilities infrastructure, you have to spend on that?
Yeah, definitely.
Roadways? Right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And a metro transit study?
Definitely.
Yeah. As an aside, before WMATA wades into this and inevitably the price tag goes up, those metro stops supported NFL games and big concerts for, what, 30 years? 25 years?
Yep.
I don't know why we're convinced they can't do them now. Maybe you got to repaint, but, you know, maybe you got to do a little bit. I don't understand why people are convinced you need more metro. Like, it's already there. It worked for years. I wrote it. I don't get that. But
so the two wards that oppose it, they're not affected by it, to be honest with you. They're way on the other side. They got everything they want. They have grocery stores right there. They have a lot of stuff, and they get better police protection over there. Why are you mad at it? Some other place getting better? Because it'll bring a little bit more oof to the area. Why are they so bad against it?
I mean, wards 3 and 4 are probably the wealthiest in the city. I don't know, maybe 2 because that's Georgetown and stuff. I don't know those answers. What happens
is Chevy Chase, Glover Park, and Tinley Town. And then you have Shepherd Park, Fort Totten, and Brightwood.
What I have noticed in life, and I'm not making this specific to anything, is you get people. A lot of times, the more educated you are, the more you want to be offended on behalf of other people. Let other people make up their minds. Mm-hmm. Like, I just, if you're, so of the money that is currently constituted in this Post story, which I think adds up to about $900 million, $500 million of it is from a ballpark fee that already exists. They're just renaming it to sports facilities fee. That's how they built Nats Park. $200 mil is going to be for utilities, roadways, and metro. They'd have to spend that anyway.
Yeah.
And then there's another $181 million that's coming from Events DC, which is the convention and sports authority for DC, and their money is specifically built for this. That's why that,
yeah.
I don't know, it's not a company, but that's why that entity what they exists.
Do, when people roll in town, everybody that lays in the bed or spends money, they earn their tax money from that thing right there. So it's about when you get people to come into the city, spend a little time, spend a little money, they make theirs that way. And a lot of that is from people from outside of the district. It's not from people inside the district.
I like this quote a lot. This is from Wayne Young. This is in the Washington Post story. I tweeted this out this morning. If you want to check it out, it's worth checking out. Wayne Young is a 65-year-old Ward 7 resident. Is not a fan of the Commanders, but finds the proposal exciting and isn't frightened by the use of city money for the project. What frightens me is that people don't speak of the revenue it will generate. So the reality is, people need a balance between the revenue spent and the revenue that it will generate. What I want to hear more is the other part to see what the balance is. The part that is not discussed is the revenue it will bring in the short term and the long term. I understand there are questions. I understand you want to get the best possible deal for the city. I understand that if you live over there, there will be periods of inconvenience due to construction.
Yeah.
You drive around the city and the surrounding suburbs.
I drive in every day. I got periods of inconvenience from where I live all the way here.
Has anybody driven through Tyson's lately? Like, I understand there are always going to be people resistant to change.
Because change sometimes make things begin to be a little bit more equal.
There's already a stadium there.
Let's be real.
What did you think was going to happen?
I go back to what you and I read in that paper. When those 100 senators voted on 100-0, and they put some things of which they would like to see a hope, and if they have a little control over some things, and they put number one was stadium, right?
First bullet point.
I think I'll keep going back to that bullet point.
When we come back, let's talk about the George Pickens trade and what that does to the NFL landscape. Nobody go anywhere. It's B. Mitch Finley.
Hey, it's Brian and JP here. If you want comfort and convenience wherever life takes you, then you need to turn the Rood. With Wi-Fi compatibility, you have full control of your heating and cooling system right from your phone. Forgot to turn down the heat before vacation? You can adjust it in seconds. Plus, you'll get alerts if something's not right. These guys are the best. They've installed new systems in my house, and I felt the difference instantly.
Here's the best part. The systems are whisper quiet. No more noisy interruptions, just peace of mind. The only banging you'll hear in the middle of the night is the kind you want to hear. Rood's variable speed compressor ensures precise temperature and humidity controls, operating efficiently even in extreme conditions. Its comfort and performance perfectly balanced. B, you got to tell them about the cash, too. You can qualify for federal tax credits up to 2 G's on heat pumps through 2032. Visit Rood.com/federal incentives to learn more.
Yep, when you get cold at night, Rood is so warm it makes you feel comfortable. You're talking about RUUD, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. Remember, if it ain't Rood,
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their 6-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The 4-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
MLB.TV is home to baseball's biggest stars. Watch every out-of-market game, live or on demand.
He got it! This is unbelievable!
Plus, you'll get 24/7 access to MLB Network. Stream every big pitch.
He struck him out!
Every home run.
Gone!
Everything baseball. All season long on MLB.TV. Start a free trial today.
Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
I'm Emma Greed, and I've spent the last 20 years building, running, and investing in some incredible businesses. The more success I've had, the more people started coming to me with questions. How do you start a business? How do you raise money? How do I bounce back from failure? On my new podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, I'll be answering these questions and more through weekly conversations with the smartest minds out there. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, available now, wherever you get your podcasts.
It ain't right.
Going wrong.
B. Mitchell Finley, 106.7
in the
fan.
Morning. Yeah.
Shout out to Bob Biagi checking in on the program, saying hello. All right, B.
She can make
big news over the last 24 hours in the NFL is the Dallas Cowboys trading for George Pickens.
Uh-huh.
I don't think this is that massive of a deal.
I don't think it is. I think the problem is people get excited anytime we see receivers moving, any skill position person moving.
Well, every fantasy dude, every fantasy website's going to – it gives them content.
Yeah, and I will say this. Pickens is unbelievable. But he's not unbelievable 80% of the time. He's unbelievable like 45, 50% of the time.
I'd say he's unbelievable 100% of the time, just not in a good way.
No, I'm talking about the good way, though.
Yeah.
Because what he does, he has a knack of being selfish and caring about just him and not everybody else. I think the guy is an extremely good player, but he always has some issue that as to why he doesn't produce the way he could consistently. And he's leaving from a place that had discipline in his overall makeup. And he's going to a place now that's very, very loosely ran. And the owner seems to side with player way more than coach. Don't you see him going there and causing issues? I'm just saying, if the Steelers normally let you go, you normally don't do much when you leave.
The recipe, like, if you have a bunch of drunk people and they're mad and it's hot, there's no guarantee there's going to be fistfights, but you sure have set up a situation where there could be fistfights.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, Dallas has a lot of pressure, and Jerry's nuts and talks all the time, and Micah Parsons has a podcast, and he hasn't gotten paid yet, and you're going to have to pay Pickens because you just traded for him, and he's going into the final year of his deal. I don't know what's going to happen, but the recipe is there for trouble.
Mm-hmm.
I think Pickens can play. He hasn't. A lot of what people love about George Pickens is almost like, I don't want to say it's combine hype, because he's clearly produced at an NFL level. He hasn't consistently produced at an NFL level.
He'll make a highlight catch at any moment, but he'll drop one too.
Right. People tend to remember the good stuff. In 3 years, he has a little less than 3,000 yards receiving. He has 1,000-yard season. He missed some time last year. There was, like, injuries. He's a dude with stuff.
Yeah.
I generally prefer to be stuffless. this is good. Landfill found this list from NFL.com of the biggest impact trades this season. And I generally agree with this. Number one, Geno Smith. The Raiders feel like they got their quarterback. Quarterback's the most important position in the league.
Uh-huh.
I get it. The Raiders are trying to compete right now. Pete Carroll's 75 years old. He ain't here to rebuild. Number two, Laremy Tunsil. After quarterback, you can argue left tackle's the most important position in football. Washington went out and traded for one of the best on the market.
Yeah.
I also, in hindsight, more and more think Adam Peters just didn't love this draft and was way more willing to give away picks in this draft and go get veterans.
Mm-hmm.
So one, Geno, two, Tunsil, three, Joe Tooney going from the Chiefs to the Bears. Bears had to get better on their offensive line. They did it. Another one is Jonah Jackson going from the Rams to the Bears.
Mm-hmm. They went at it.
They're trying to get better for Caleb Williams. Traded for some age on the O-line, but we'll see. Number five, they have Pickens. I'm reading now from NFL.com. In each of the past three seasons in Dallas, you could count on two things. CeeDee Lamb compiling at least 150 targets, and no other Cowboys player even sniffing those totals. Pickett should finally give Dak Prescott a reliable second option at wideout, making new coach Brian Schottenheimer's chances of returning his squad to competitiveness in the NFC look much sturdier than they did before this deal was consummated. The drama that swirled around Pickens at times in Pittsburgh can't be completely ignored, given that he is heading to a franchise in Dallas where off-field narratives are practically a natural resource. But this will also be arguably the best setting of Pickens' professional career. Over his 3 years in Pittsburgh, the offense was regularly in flux, and he was the only Steelers player to top 1,000 receiving yards in a given season. In Dallas, Pickens just needs to figure out how to support established studs, Prescott and Lamb, and that should give him room to flourish.
Okay. I'll ask you one question and give me a yes or no. Do you think he will be able to do that?
I think there will certainly be good games.
Do you think he'll be able to do that? Yes or no?
Flourish?
Be able to go there and understand that you're not the guy. You're an addition to what we already have. You could end up being the third of the triplets, as they like to call when they have three good players up there. You could be the third one, but are you willing to play your role? Because CD has the money. CD's the one that's been getting it all these years. You have to come in and now be an addition, not the main guy.
I would bet on it not ending well. I think Pickens can play. He's only 24. Maybe he grows up. That's a hell of an environment to grow up in, but things I think Dak can play. I think Pickens can play. I think CD can play. We'll see. I don't know. You seem rather skeptical.
I am too. I'm skeptical because for years, the Steelers, just like Andy Reid and the Eagles, when they let somebody go, you don't get the best out of them anymore. The best has already been done. And the kid is 24, as you stated, and I hope he has more.
Right.
But when you have a tendency to just think about you and not others, you normally don't grow up the way you're supposed to.
We got to be quick on this. Pickens for a third and some other stuff. DK for a second and a seventh. Or Debo for a fifth. What's your favorite trade out of that?
Debo for a fifth?
Yo, me too, dude. I'm not even trying to sound like a homer. Obviously, Pickens much younger, but you're also about to pay him. What we're about to do, Jeff Bostic will join the program.